This morning, I want to talk to you about five words. Five words that are so incredible and so wonderful that even when those five words are spoken, it should blow every Christian's mind, just blow you away. But the problem is the five words that I want to talk to you about this morning, they have become so familiar to us, so commonplace, that we know it, we believe it, but it seems to not stick to us in a way because we're so familiar with these five words. Did you know that no Christian should really ever say, I've said it, you've said it, and I'll probably say it again, I hope I don't. But all Christians have said, and no Christian should say, oh Lord, where are you? Where are you, Lord? You know what that means? If we actually say that, it means that we are no longer aware of His presence. And He is here. Amen? It's very, very important. You know, the psalmist has said in Psalm 95:2, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. And let us shout joyfully to the Lord with psalms. Listen, did we do that this morning? Not beating I'm talking to you. I love you. Amen? Today, thank God we can come in here. It's cool. And that is, if you don't think that's a blessing, let's go outside. But we can fellowship. We can hug one another. How you doing? Give a high five. Whatever we do. But really, are we prepared to come into His presence with thanksgiving? See, we are really in His presence right now. Amen? No, we really are in His presence right now. Do you realize that right this moment, again, that we are spending time right this minute in the presence of our Lord as His body together? Now, Jesus is very aware of that, but are we aware of that? You know, if today's Christian, if we would believe, act upon, embrace just five words, did you know that the spirit of fear that exists so much in the church today would have to exit? And we would become, again, the church fearless, the church unashamed, amen? And those five words, well, Bill, what are those five words? Here they are. I will be with you. Say it. I will be with you. I encourage you after this study, sometime this week, if you have a moment, why not go through your Bibles and look up every time you find that expression, I will be with you. And just ponder that and see what God was doing with those individuals. Let me give you just a few before we get to Exodus chapter 3. How about this one here? It says in Genesis 26:3. Now this is about Isaac. It was a time of famine. Isaac was going to go down to Egypt and the Lord stopped him. Listen to what he warned him not to go down to Egypt. And it says, dwell in the land, talking to Isaac, and God, here's what God said, I will be with you. Now, you know, we read that, but God really was with him. Amen? He says, I will be with you. I will bless you, and I'll bless your descendants, and I'm going to give you these lands, and I'll perform the oath I swore to Abraham, your father. How about when Jacob fled from Laban? Remember, he worked so long for Rachel and Leah and all that or whatnot, and he married them. And so in Genesis 31:3, it says, then the Lord said to Jacob, because Jacob said, I'm getting out of here. He says, listen, return to the land of your fathers and your family. And then God made a promise. He says, I will be with you. Now, did I tell you to turn to Genesis 3 or Genesis 39? Well, hold your place and turn to Genesis 39. All right? I believe that's where I'm going. Now we're going to look at Joseph just for a second. Genesis 39:1. It says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, now that's the chief executioner, by the way, an Egyptian, bought him, purchased him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Now, we know the story about Joseph's loving brothers. We know how much they love him, right? There was Joseph coming out into the field to find them, and he was wearing his coat of many colors, and Jacob, of course, loved him dearly. And what did they do? They tossed him to a pit. Amen? And then they were going to kill him, but Reuben came along and said, no, listen, here come the Ishmaelites. Let's just sell him. We don't want the blood to be on us. So the Ishmaelites purchase him, take him down to Egypt, and the next thing he knows, he is purchased by Potiphar. Amen? Now, and of course, Potiphar doesn't know that he is about to purchase the person who will save Egypt. Amen? Okay, and will be second in command to Pharaoh. But Joseph didn't have any idea about that either. He looked at himself, I guess I'm a slave. He waited for 13 long years, and it says in verse 2, something happened. But the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So remember this. Listen, how old was Joseph? Joseph was a teenager. Listen, just think about that. There he's a teenager betrayed by his own brother, separated from his family, separated from everything that he even knew, loved one, his way of life, but he was not separated from his God. Amen? No. Listen, the Lord, it says, was with Joseph. Look at it. And God made him a success. Can you believe that God can make a slave a success? As long as he's with you. There's not an obstacle God can't overcome in your life. Amen? Yes, there's none at all. We can't limit God. So Potiphar, now he's in Potiphar's house, verse 3. And his master, well, he saw, here it comes, the Lord was with Joseph, and that the Lord had made all that he did to what? To prosper, to be a success in his hand. Now, did you notice it said the Lord made, not Joseph made? Amen. And the reason was because the Lord was with him. Now, we know the story. Joseph is now over the household of Potiphar, and everything he touched was turning to gold. And then Potiphar's wife laid eyes upon him and said, lay with me. Remember the story. And what did Joseph do? He did what was right. He ran out of the room, but she grabbed his coat. Remember? And lied to her husband about it, said, oh, he tried to take me and all the rest of this kind of stuff. And so what happens to Joseph now? He is cast into prison for doing the right thing. And there he is in prison. Potiphar completely forgets about Joseph. But does God forget about him? Look at verse, go to verse 21. Now Joseph is now in prison. Verse 21. He's in prison, but the Lord was what? With Joseph. And look what he did. Showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the prisoner. And it says there in verse, it says, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand, how many prisoners? All the prisoners who were in prison. And whatever they did there, it was his doing. And the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. And look at the reason why. Because the Lord was what? Was with him. And whatever Joseph did, the Lord made it prosper. Listen to me. That is the incredible power of God's presence in a life of a believer. Amen? Think about that for a moment. Listen, do you see what Joseph did not do? He did not allow his circumstances to do two things. Number one, define him. Number two, or defeat him. Amen? Think about that. He's all alone. And there he is in prison. And his own brothers had betrayed him. And you know what you find if you study his life? You'll never find him complaining. You'll never find him regret that he had followed the Lord. Never. And there he is in prison. Now listen, his circumstances and your circumstances right now in your life, loved one, the circumstances mean the things that are surrounding you, that are causing you trouble in your life, that are trying to direct you in a certain manner, okay? Joseph's circumstances and our circumstances are doing something. Number one, they were moving Joseph in the right direction. And number two, it doesn't mean it's painless, amen? Okay, and it means they're also moving us in the right direction. Where, Bill? Toward the purpose of God. Now listen, Genesis 50:20, let me just read it. This is at the end there. Joseph is now second in command to Pharaoh. And he's looking and talking to his brothers. And it says, but as for you, meaning Joseph's brothers, you meant evil against me. You know, you threw me into the pit. You sold me to the Ishmaelites. You did evil to me. But then he goes, but God meant it for good. Why? Well, in order to bring it about, it is this day to save many people alive. You know, they had the 7 years of famine, remember? Okay, and so Joseph saved, through God, an entire nation and brought his family, his father, all of them from Israel down to Egypt. Amen? Think about that. Now listen, was everything that was happening, was it great? No. Was it painful at times? Yes. Was there loneliness involved? Absolutely. I mean, listen, he was just like you or me. But you know what we have to understand? We are a new covenant bunch, aren't we? And you know what the Bible says about what's coming against us and the things that are happening in our lives? Romans 8:28, it tells us, and we know that all things, meaning God's involved in all the things of our life, we know that all things work together for good. All things. Does it mean that all things are good? No, doesn't mean that at all. But he says, we know, I hope you know, that all things work together for good to those who love God. Not just everyone, those who love God and to those who are the called. And we are the called, amen? And it says, according to his purpose, meaning God's plan and his purpose for your life. Now listen, what do you do when trouble comes into your life? Because trouble is going to come into your life. I don't care how much you fast, how much you pray, how well you know your Bible. Tribulation, Jesus promised it. John 16:33, amen? Okay, we're going to have tribulation in this world, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome the world, and we are in the one who has overcome the world, right? So what do you do when trouble comes? And let me ask you another question. Do you truly, church, listen to me now, do you really believe that in any trouble that you are facing right now, that God can cause you to be a success, that God can cause you to prosper? Yes. Now, don't take that word prosper to mean I just won the lottery. Do you understand? Let him, he knows how to prosper us. We don't have to define it for him. Let our Father do it. He knows what's best. But listen, do you believe that he can prosper you in any kind of trouble? Well, I'm going to tell you something. The incredible power of those five words. I will be with you. That is the divine presence of God. The divine presence of Jesus. The divine presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? He says, I will be with you. What do you do in trouble? Why don't you just turn, if you can, to Psalm 46:1. You know this verse by heart. You've probably memorized it. And it says in Psalm 46:1, the psalmist says this, God is our refuge. And not only that, he's our strength. And he's a very present help in what? In our trouble, whatever we're facing. Now listen, did you notice that it didn't say God is a help? The emphasis is on the word very. He is a very present help. And he is more present and knowing than anyone or anything that is coming against your life. Amen? Are you truly aware, not just I can quote it, do you believe it? Do you live it? Do you really believe that God is your refuge? That God is your shelter? That God is your strength? That's what he's saying right here. He's a very present help in trouble. And so because of that, look at verse 2. Therefore, we will not what?
Fear.
Fear what, though? Trouble. Do you understand? We'll not fear trouble. Why? Because God is more present in our lives than the trouble that we are facing. Amen? He's our shelter in trouble. He is our strength in trouble. But you have to believe it. It says, now watch, even though the earth be removed and even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar, be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. You know, pause, think about that. I mean, I would say when everything that we know is all of a sudden gone. Would you call that trouble? Amen. Now drop down to verse 10. God is very present in our troubles. And listen to what he tells us to do then. He says, I want you to go out and work real hard to try to alleviate your troubles. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's that new version that just came out. No, it says, be still. Have you ever tried to be still in your troubles? You know what I mean? Don't do a thing. Be still and do what? And he says, I just want you to know one thing. He says, and know that I am God, and I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. Now listen, do you know what the word in Hebrew, be still, means? It literally means take your hands off of the issue. Remove your hands. Get out of God's way. And if you don't get out of God's way and remove your hands, now, unless you really want to be in trouble in your troubles, amen? And you will be. God says, I know what's wrong. You don't even know where your troubles are coming from. You don't really understand why they're even here. God does. God knows. It may be we caused them ourselves. But he says, listen, I am your very present help. Be still and let me do it. Watch me do it. Amen. Whenever Joshua, he was taking the second generation into the promised land. Listen to what God told Joshua in Joshua 1:5. Y'all know this scripture by heart, I'm sure. God tells Joshua, now listen to this promise. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Think of that. No person could stand against him all the days of his life. Man, the power of God's presence, a lifetime for Joshua, a lifetime of continuous victory. He says, no man will be able to stand all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, here it comes, I will be with you. I'll not leave you nor forsake you. Joshua 1:9, God tells him, Joshua, have I not commanded you a command? Be strong, be of good courage, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. In other words, don't fall apart and, you know, be discouraged. And here's the reason. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Listen, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Joshua, they could claim absolutely nothing. And neither can we. Did God do it all? All they had to do was do what God said. Amen? Okay, but God did it. God had already given the land of Israel, the land of promise, to the tribes of Israel. Amen? He already defeated the Hittites, the Perizzites, all the rest of those ites. You know what I'm trying to say? It was all done. Now listen, why did they didn't do a thing except God said, I'll be with you. Now listen, so that was the only reason. God says, I will be with you. Joshua, be strong. He commanded that. Why? Because Joshua was not strong. Are you following me? He said, be courageous. No, he wasn't courageous. Listen, God knows that. And even Joseph knew his own limitations. Because, see, he really was afraid. And so were we at times. Amen? You know, Warren Wiersbe, who's in heaven now, said this, you can never be too small for God to use, but you can be too big. Oh, are we too strong? Are we too wise for God to use us? You know what God is looking for right now, today, in our nation? He is looking for a church, a local church that is purchased with his blood, to rise up and say this, Zechariah 4:6, not by my might, not by human ability, not by power, not some army or government, he says, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, loved one, the last words of Jesus to us and to the disciples at that time. We need the endowment of power, amen? It is vital. And you know why we need the endowment of power and why they needed the endowment of power? Because they were powerless. You have to be empowered to do the work of God, amen? And those that he calls, he will empower, and he will also equip. Now listen, 2 Corinthians 3:5, Paul writes, very important, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. He says, but our sufficiency is from God. You know what Paul just said? He says, I want to let you know that I am not the source of my resources, and you are not the source of, amen? No, it's all from the Lord. Listen, God is a creator of all things. He's the one that gives us the gifts. He's the one that fills us with the Spirit. He's the one that plans what we do, our role and our calling in this life, amen? He's the one who has forgiveness. He's the one that gives us his love. We're so dependent upon God, not ourselves. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It is of God. It's his power. It's his Holy Spirit. Amen? All of it. Now, are you at Exodus chapter 3, verse 1? I told you I'd be there in about 10 minutes. Huh? Now, let's set this up. We all know the story of Moses. We know that he was drawn, put in the basket, and then he was drawn from the water there by Pharaoh's daughter, and she raised him and so forth. And so he was 40 years. Moses was 40 years in the house of Pharaoh, growing up in the palace. Now, in Acts chapter 7, verse 22, it tells us something about Moses during his stay as he was being raised in the palace. It says here, so Moses was educated in all the wisdom and all the culture of the Egyptians. And Moses was mighty. He was powerful in his speech and in his deeds and all that he did. Now, after 40 years, you know that he looked out one day and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And what did Moses do? Did he kill him? Yes. Did he bury him in the sand? Yes. Did he run? Yes, he did. He killed that Egyptian. He flees to Midian. He marries a woman called Zipporah because he had helped all the daughters there of the priest of Midian, his daughters fight off some, I don't know, guys as they were watering the sheep and so forth, okay? So he becomes then a shepherd to sheep, which is an abomination to an Egyptian. So for 40 long years, he does that. And then the story picks up in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back side of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now that, of course, it means desolate place, but it's Mount Sinai. And an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame, a fire from the midst of a bush. And so Moses looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Now, that's just an everyday occurrence, isn't it? Now, so how did God reveal himself? He hadn't said a word yet. He revealed himself by fire, amen? How did he lead the children of Israel? Okay. Is our God a consuming fire? Did Jesus say we needed to be baptized with fire? All right, there we go. So he said it wasn't consumed. And now turn aside and see this great sight. He was going, why the bush does not burn? Now, so when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Did I sound like you know who? Now listen carefully. He called him twice. The first words that Moses heard from God, the first words, his name. You know what the Bible teaches us? Does God know our name? Yes, he does. You know, and it says that, you know, he calls us and we follow him, loved one. Now listen, he says, Moses, Moses, the first word he heard. And Moses, the first words now God heard from Moses, look at it, here I am. And then he said, do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is what kind of ground? Holy. Now, was the ground actually holy? No. Who made it holy? God. Boy, you're a great church. You've been well taught, I'm telling you. Now, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. In other words, they're still alive. He's the God of the living. They're in heaven with him or in Abraham's bosom. Moreover, he said, and Moses, look what he did. He hid his face. And he was afraid to look upon God, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, I know their pain, in other words. So God sees, God hears, God knows, and now he's going, God says, I'm going to deliver. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of slavery, out of bondage, and to bring them up from that land to a good land, a good and large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Mosquitobites. And now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. I have seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppress them. Now, listen carefully. Would you call that an incredible supernatural adventure? Come on. I mean, Moses had to be blown away. I mean, there is a burning bush. It's not consumed. There is a voice that comes from the bush, and God is speaking. I mean, Moses' heart has to be, his eyes, he just to be completely blown away and exploding with joy, because God said, the place that he left 40 years ago, God says, I'm going to deliver them. He said, praise the Lord, until he got to verse 10. Look at this one. He says, come now, God speaking. Therefore, oh, come over here, Moses. I will send who? You to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now listen carefully. He said, who am I? What is he saying? He said, you don't understand. I'm 80 years old now. That's how old he was. I'm 80 years old. I mean, look at me. And not only that, I take care of a bunch of sheep out here in the middle of the desert. I don't do anything anymore. I'm not the young man that I was. So what does God say to Moses? He said, listen, Moses, man, you're exactly what I need. You see, you're smart. You were educated in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians. Oh, you're a hard worker. Look at those sheep, how you take care of them. Moses, you have so much to offer. Let me build up your self-esteem, because I can't do it without you, bro. Come on. Is that what God said? No, God didn't do that, did he? Now listen. God said, no. I didn't speak like that, Bill. That's nonsense. But God did one thing. The same thing he does to me and to you, he did to Moses. He directs Moses to one divine fact. One divine fact. And he's getting ready to speak five or six words to Moses that should blow him away and should blow us away even right now, this very moment. Look at verse 12. And so God said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I've sent you and brought you to the people of Egypt. You shall serve the God on that mountain. And so I've got the plan, Moses. I've got the purpose. Moses said, who am I? God's answer, I will certainly be with you. I'm going to ask you a question. Isn't that enough? Then why don't we believe it? Why don't we believe it? I say that in love. Come on. Why don't we believe that? Moses didn't believe it. You know, you can go on and study the rest. He said, well, what's your name? Who am I going to tell him? You know, and he said, I'm not eloquent. I can't even talk. Remember? You can read it later. All the excuses that he keeps making over and over and over again. Listen to me. Have you found out, have you learned enough to say that the issue is not who I am, the issue is not what I am, it's not even what I was. The issue is this: if God be with me, it doesn't matter who I am. It doesn't matter how much, any qualifications. It doesn't matter. Does that make sense? As long as God is with me, it doesn't matter. Because listen, when God says, I will, to Moses or us, I am with you. I will I'm sending you. You know what that means? It means you have been equipped with divine authority and divine power from Almighty God. He says, I'm going to be with you, man. If God is for us, who in the world could ever try to even think of being against us? Amen? And we have to understand that. Now listen to me. We're moving towards something here, this church. And we have to be honest with ourselves, Calvary. We have to destroy every excuse. Moses made excuse after excuse, and so do we. We have to, every excuse, we have to destroy it. Why? Because there is no excuse when God says to you and to me, I will be with you. Does that make sense? There are no more excuses. And we can go, well, I'm not equipped. I can't serve in the nursery. I'm afraid of children. I can't witness to anybody. What? You can't tell somebody about Jesus? You can tell somebody about the Dallas Cowboys. Listen to me. If the Lord is, and he is with us. We don't have to make an excuse about anything. I mean, if we're disabled in a way, well, okay, but we can still pray, amen? So listen to me. Never say, who am I, or I'm afraid, or I don't have what it takes, I'm too old, or I'm too young, I'm not smart enough. You know what God told Jeremiah? Let me read it to you. Jeremiah 1:7, the Lord said to me, do not say, I'm a youth. And he was a youth. Don't you say that. For you shall go to all whom I send you, whatever I command you, you are going to speak. And listen to what he says. Do not be afraid of their faces. And he tells us why. For I am with you. I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. It is the season right now that we're in that we have to turn our focus away from who am I, self, to who he is. In other words, it's not what I can do, it's what God can do when we do what God says to do. Amen? And we need to know that. Listen, Moses' inability was certainly apparent. I know that and you know that. But that's why God said, Moses, I got it. I know you're messed up, but I'll be with you. And if I'm with you, that's all that you need. Amen? Mo, listen, 5 words from God sustained Moses until the day he died. Do you know that? 5 words all the years, till he's 120. 5 words, I will be with you, sustain that man. And you know what? It will sustain you and me if we truly believe that. Jesus said in John 15:4, he says, abide in me, I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus says, I am the vine. In other words, I'm the source of all life. I'm the vine. You're the branches. That's us. He who abides in me and I in him, the result, it says, bears much fruit. Why? Well, for apart from me, without me, severed from me, we can do, you can do nothing. Can we bear fruit of ourselves? No. Only the Holy Spirit does it for us. Amen? It's his fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. If you love others, it's not your fruit. Thank God you see it. But it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Loved one, listen to me. The life of Christ is the life of every believer, and no one can live the Christian life apart from Christ. Amen? Man. So it's not who I am, what I am. It's not what I was. It's not even what I think I can do or I think I cannot do. It just means this. Without Jesus, I don't care. I cannot do anything without him. Amen? Certainly nothing of eternal significance in this life. So it's not important to be someone. It's important to have that someone in you, and his name is Jesus Christ. Now, I think I'm going to skip that paragraph right here. I'm going to save it for the second service. No, I'm not. I'm going to. Now, listen, I'm saying this in love. You know, I was going to go into Jude, but the Lord has been dealing with me about that I will be with you. And that's why I said, okay, Lord, you want me to talk to the church then, don't you? You know, Calvary, listen, if those five words, I will be with you, if they are not enough for us beginning right now, each of us, if they're not enough for us, here's what's going to happen. You know what we're going to do? We're going to find ourselves feeding off the fruits of the last 30 plus years of this church. You understand? Living on what used to be, what was. Does that make sense? And it's not, it's going to, then what happens? Well, if you live off something that was all those years ago, does it bring life? No. So we start withering spiritually. And then finally, we just become dead spiritually. So what we need to do is live off fresh fruit, meaning we keep moving forward with God. Does that make sense? And we do that because he said, I will be with you. I'm telling you, if we'll take our eyes off of us and only look to him, listen to what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 1:26, he says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh. There's not a lot of wise people, he said, in the church there. Boy, that was a self-esteem builder. He said, there's not many mighty. There's not many noble or well-born or called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world. Hello, foolish thing. Amen. He's chosen the foolish things of the world. Why? Well, to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world. That's us, the weak things of the world, to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and those which are despised, meaning that word means to be considered as nothing, God has chosen. Listen, God takes nobodies, as we know. You've heard it. And he makes them somebodies. Amen. Listen, I mean, can you imagine taking a tax collector? Not today, but then, you know, a tax collector or a prostitute or a woman that had been demon, had seven demons, you know, I mean, or an adulteress or a fisherman or a zealot. A zealot was one who loved to stab people with a knife, you know, the Romans, you know, or a woman that has been married five times and was living with an old boy. And God takes them. Jesus saves them. He fills them with the Holy Spirit. He sends them. And what does the base things of the world that God has chosen do? They turned their world upside down for Jesus Christ. Why? Five words. Five words. Let me give it to you. With one of our foundational scriptures, this fellowship, the Great Commission. Before Jesus' ascension, remember what he said in Matthew 28:18? He says, Jesus came, spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me, heaven and earth. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Now listen to Jesus' promise to them and to us. And lo, I am with you how long? Always. Always. You know what that word, the duration of the word always is? Listen to the duration. Always, even until the end of the what? Age. Even till the end of the time. Even to when the church is, when it's all gone. Loved one, that's every second, every minute, every hour, 24/7. Lo, I am with you always. We have right now the constant, eternal, divine presence of our Savior with us right this minute. Right this minute. No matter what you face in this life, loved one, you know you're safe. You're safe. No one can take you out of his hand. Amen. Listen, we're safe. Even in death, we're safe. What did David say in Psalm 23:4? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'll not be afraid. Why? Thy rod, thy staff. For thou art with me. There it was. So I thank you, Lord. For thou art with me. Amen. Jesus is with us then. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So when our final day comes, you know, we don't have to worry about dying. Jesus said, come on, we're going home. Don't worry about a thing. You're safe, man. You're with me. Listen, he is there. He is just Jehovah Shammah. In other words, the ever-present God. I pray those five words, they have to live in our heart. Whenever, what was his name? Paul. Remember, he had been beaten so many times over and over, even stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked, in prison, out of prison. I mean, the guy was beat to a pulp. No wonder Luke traveled with him, the doctor. Amen? Think about that. Whenever he went to Corinth, Paul's heart, he couldn't do it. He was so beat up and he was so tired and so worn out and so discouraged. You know what Jesus did? The resurrected Lord who was in heaven at the right hand of God, he appeared to Paul in a vision. Let me read it to you, Acts 18:9. It says, and now the Lord himself spoke to Paul in the night in a vision. Listen to what he says to Paul. Paul, don't be afraid. That means Paul was afraid. Does Jesus lie? No, he was all. He says, don't be afraid, Paul, but speak. Do not keep silent. Those were three short commands. And then he says to Paul, I'm with you. I am with you. No one will attack you. No one will hurt you. No one will beat you up anymore now, Paul. For I have many in this city. In the Bible, if you read, go ahead and would read that chapter, you'll find that Paul was there for a year and a half. And many people in Corinth were saved. Listen, the Lord is with you. He's with you right now. Jesus told us in John 14, 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father. He will give you another helper. Say those two words, another helper. The word another in Greek means of the same kind or one that is equal to me. I will give you another comforter, another counselor. I'll give you another standby, another strengthener. I will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. He may para, come alongside of you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him, doesn't know him, but you know him. Here it comes. For he, the Holy Spirit, he's the person, okay? He dwells with you and will be in you. Are we is our bodies a temple of the Holy Spirit? 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in us, he that is in the world. Amen? Amen? Okay. He will be in you. And Jesus says, I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you helpless. Here it comes. I will come to you. Jesus is going to the cross. Jesus is going to be raised from the dead. Jesus is going to ascend to heaven. He says, don't worry, I will come to you. How does he do that? He presents himself by the Holy Spirit. Amen? That is the one equal, exactly equal to our Lord. So he says, yes, I'll come to you even though I'm departing physically. Okay? He says, but I will spiritually come to you in a brand new way by the Holy Spirit. Listen, I will be with you. He is with us right this minute. And I love when I listen to me. We have lost absolutely nothing, even though we have lost or do not see his bodily presence. Does that make sense? He is here. No, he's here. And the reason that the church is losing that is they're not aware. They don't practice awareness. Listen, the Lord, I went to sleep last night. He doesn't sleep or slumber. He said, Bill, wake up. He got me up at 3:30. Lord, are you lonely? Give me a break. Don't you know how old I am? I need to be fresh in the pulpit, Lord. These people are hard. He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. In every fear, no matter what you do, he is with you. Nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? He is with you. He's with us right this moment. You say, well, Bill, I feel far away from him. Well, then do what the Word of God says. Draw nigh unto God. That means near. Draw nigh unto God, and he will what? No, he'll run away from you. No, He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. That's what James said. You know, when I go to other people's homes, I always look at the scriptures they have. I see this scripture a lot. Isaiah 41:10. Let me read it to you. God says to Israel, he says it to us as well. He's giving a command. He goes, fear not. It's a command. Fear not. And listen to the reason. Those five words, for I am with you. Amen. Be not dismayed. Another command. The reason, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Is that an incredible scripture? Our Father who loves us says, I love you so much, I'm commanding you never to fear. And you know why? He says, for I am your God. I am your God. And he goes, I am with you. You have the Lord's presence on the worst day of your life. Do you understand? He is with you. He says, I will strengthen you. What does that mean? You have the power of the Lord. He's going to strengthen you. He says, I will help you. My Lord, come on. I will help you. What are you going through? What are you facing? I will help you. Whatever it is, I will help you. That's what a father does to his children. The Lord's protection. How does he do all of that? He says, well, I do that because I uphold you. I uphold you with my righteous right hand. Praise God. That's what he does. That means that God is above you, around you, beneath you, all in you, with you. He has got you covered. Listen, I'm going to quote a scripture as we get ready to prepare for communion, guys. Just get ready, okay? And not yet, but just get ready. And I know I've quoted this so many times, but it is, besides, my life scripture is John 8:32. If I had a second life scripture, it would be this one that I'm going to quote because I live daily on this scripture. I live it. I live it because I have to say, Lord, I know it's true. And I'm going to read it as I've read so many times to you from the Amplified Version. Let me read it, Hebrews 13:5. Be satisfied with your present circumstances and what you have. If you got $100 or $1, be satisfied with it. Amen? Whatever you're going through. And here's why. You can be satisfied in whatever circumstances you're facing. Here it comes. For he, I'm reading from the Amplified. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you. How many times have you said, God, you let me down? God will never let you down. He will never fail you. He will never fail you. He's never failed me. But I told him you did. Never fail you. I will never give you up. Don't let the devil lie to you. I will never leave you without support. Emphatic now in the Greek, three times. I will not, God says, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, or let you down, or relax my hold upon you. Assuredly not. So take comfort. Be encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper, the creator of the universe. The sustainer of all things, the one who said, let there be stars, let there be light. Are you understanding? He says, the Lord is my helper. He says, I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear. I will not dread. I'll not be terrified. What can man do to me? Amen. That is the word of the living God, loved one. Now listen to me. Listen to me now. Listen. No other religion, no other people on the planet have what the church has. Do you understand? I will be with you. I will be with you. His presence will be with you. No people can say that. See, God is everywhere. But not everyone can say, well, the Lord is with me. Do you understand? See, Jesus is alive. Those other religions, their founder is not alive. the founder of our of Christianity. Christianity is a person, and he lives in us. Amen? Oh, no other people have that. Not only does he live in us, he lives in us. He is with us right this minute. Right this minute. Listen, let me read something. Moses, everyone should read Exodus 33 today. But Moses is talking to him because it's an intimate conversation. It's a face-to-face conversation. And he says, Lord, I don't even know your name. Tell me, I need this grace, you know, and so forth, because they're getting ready to depart and leave Sinai. And it says, and then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you've also found grace in my sight. But now, therefore, I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and find grace in your sight and consider this nation your people. Now, listen to what he says. And God said, my presence will go with you. I will be with you. I will give you rest. And he said to him, Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then shall it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? Now listen to what he says. So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Listen, no one on the planet has what we have unless they are born from above. Do you understand? God said, Jesus said, I will be with you. No one else can say that. You have to be born again. You have to be really born again. Amen? Not just go to church. No, Jesus has to be the Lord of your life. And every Christian can say, Jesus said, I'll be with you. And he is with you. Loved one, listen, do you know what happens when you're in the presence of God? Whenever the manifest presence of God happens. In Psalm 16:11, it says, and you shall show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of what? In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore, forever and ever and ever and ever. Generation after generation, you know what's happening? We live in a generation and they're seeking, oh, I'm going to life. I need joy. I need pleasure. I need this, da 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 da. But it only leaves them empty because they're lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Five words. As ushers, five words. They should explode in our hearts. Jesus said, I will be with you even until the end of the age. Amen. Loved one, he is with us now. We're going to celebrate his table. He's the one who commanded that ordinance. Amen. I pray that our hearts are prepared. Let's go ahead and, gentlemen, please pass it on out. And let me, as a praise band, yeah, Jesse, let's come on up here. And I'll do what Jesse told me what to do, and I nearly forgot. And that means the rest of the band too, okay? Did you get anything this morning? Yes. Okay. He is going to be with you as you leave today. Wherever you go eat, he's right there. Whatever is coming your way tonight, tomorrow, next, he is right there. He will never leave you. Amen? Amen? Oh, the assurance that we have. And I know we need to celebrate communion. Let me just read a few scriptures. Let's look at, as the bread is being passed out, let's look within real quick, okay? It says, anyone who eats this bread, drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body, the blood. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So listen, if you got junk in your heart, man, cast that junk out. Amen? If you have aught, or just say, Lord, I forgive. and let the blood of Jesus cleanse it away. Amen. So right now, what we're doing, go ahead, Alex, you can play that for me. Isn't that a beautiful? There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. This is his table. The Lord told us that this is my body which is broken for you. Take, eat, he said. And when you do that, he says, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. Amen. So while we hold this bread and while they sing, let's put your heart on Jesus and your mind on Jesus, and then I'll come back up when it's time for the wine, okay? It says, in the same manner, Jesus took the cup after supper, and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You know, when we think about the new covenant in his blood, it's costly, isn't it? Jesus really did die for our sins, past, present, future. He died for the sins of the world. Amen. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, all mankind's sin. He paid our sin debt, and in him there is no sin. The only way to be clean is to have Christ. There's no other way to be clean. There's no other way to wash away sin except the blood of Jesus. Amen? There's no other way except Jesus. He was broken for us. He died for us. He took our shame. He took our guilt. We know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him there is no sin. We know that this redemption that we have was so costly because we're not redeemed with silver and things like that from this life, silver and gold and those perishable items, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. And as I say at every communion, we know that our sins are how far away? As far as the east is from the west. We don't want to sin. We want to live for the Lord. Amen. We want to run from sin. We want to arm ourselves with the armor of God. Jesus is coming Remember what he said? For as often as you drink this cup, eat of this bread, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen? And Jesus is coming. I wish I could just say, this is it, and you would do it. But that doesn't work that way. I want you to meditate on those five words. I will be with you. Right now. In your fear, your worry, your hurt, your loneliness, your sickness, he said, I will be with you. So that's why we partake and we do this in remembrance of him. And then we're going to partake, and Jesse's going to sing that song several times, and we're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to ask the presence of the Lord to fill this place and change anything that's wrong. Amen. Father, we love you. Here we are. We're your family. You purchased us with the blood of your Son. Thank you. And what we do now, we do in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, let us partake. And let us worship the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Listen, if you need prayer, you know where the prayer room is. Amen. Let's have a glorious day in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you dearly. God bless you guys.